Join me in the book of Ruth, verse 11. We will begin reading there in just a moment. Before I get to that reading, I would like to remind you of Ruth's commitment to Naomi. That is found in chapter 1 at verse 16. So just so you have this in your mind, once again, I'd like to read to you Ruth's words to Naomi after Naomi urged her repeatedly not to follow her back to Bethlehem from Moab. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." Please understand that Ruth left everything to commit to and care for Naomi. She left her family. She left her homeland. She left the grave of her deceased husband. Everything. To make this extraordinary commitment to Naomi. Last week we spoke of her meeting Boaz. And Boaz has been told of this incredible commitment to Naomi on the part of Ruth. And so now we pick up this story as Boaz is responding to Ruth and him coming to know this commitment she has made. Verse 11 of chapter 2. "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come out over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the fields until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one in whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "The man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finished harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. We will end our reading there. When one lives in obedience to our Lord's teaching, he or she can expect the blessings of God. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, we see this idea of blessings and curses, or being blessed, or some level, some type of destruction. If you follow God's commands, you will be blessed. If you do not, then you can expect curses. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 11, let me read to you. Deuteronomy 7, 11, it says, "Therefore take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord will, your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, your new wine and oil, the calves of your herd and the lambs of your flocks and the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases that you knew of in Egypt." Here is the common teaching within throughout the Old Testament. Follow the commands of God and he will bless. But also, the teaching of curses and destruction is given to the people of Israel. In chapter 8, verse 19, we read, "If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God." This is a theme throughout the Old Testament. Blessings for obedience, destructions if not. We see this in Adam and Eve at creation. Obey and you will live. Eat of the tree of life and you will die. We see it in Abraham, Noah, David, the prophets. We hear the message from the prophets to the people of Israel. You are denying the word of God, and so you are being sent off into captivity. Come and follow his commands and live in obedience to him so that you might be blessed. In the Old Testament, this is known as the covenant of works. Most particularly in the New Testament, the Old Testament in the creation story, the covenant of works basically means if you work and follow the commands of God, then he will uphold his blessings to you. But if you disobey, destruction may be your end. And at the time of our story here at Ruth, remember, this is the time of the judges. They've seen this firsthand. They've had good judges, judges that led them. And God blessed the land. But then they've also had those judges that led them improperly. Elimelech, we are told of a famine. That was probably because of disobedience. And so here, the time of the judges, they saw this blessing and cursing. Well, this covenant of the works in time matured into the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace in which we live in today. God knew that we could not in our sin maintain that level of obedience to his commands. And so out of his grace, he sent Jesus Christ to perfectly keep his commands on our behalf. And Jesus did that. In his life, Jesus kept the law perfectly. He followed the commands. He followed the commands of God perfectly. And so we are the beneficiary of that as Jesus did that on our behalf. So let me ask you, if we are now living in a covenant of grace, and God knows that we in our sin cannot keep his commands, then we should just go on sinning. Because God is benevolent and loving. Paul addresses this in Romans chapter 6. He asks, "What then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace?" He says, "By no means. Don't you know that when we offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you are now entrusted." There is still this idea of blessings and curses, but under the covenant of grace, the blessings are now seen in our growing in righteousness. God blesses us as we grow in righteousness as we follow his commands. Our disobedience Is our disobedience not regarded at all because we are under the covenant of grace? No. Our disobedience, our sin, is a disappointment in the eyes of God, and we are therefore open to His discipline. We must know, however, that just like Adam and Noah, David and the prophets, we can expect the blessings of God when we live to His commands. And it's not done out of fear, but it's done out of love. We see this in Ruth. Boaz says to Ruth in chapter 2, verse 11, I've been told about how you have done for what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. Why would Boaz have this idea that God would bless because of Ruth's action? Because of the Old Testament teaching of blessings and curses. Boaz knew that as Ruth acted out in her commitment to Naomi, she was following the commands of God and she would be blessed. Ruth made an incredible sacrifice to Naomi, and as we said last week, Ruth stepped out in faith, looking for the grace of God to appear in her life. And she was not disappointed because we have Boaz coming on the scene here and beginning to care for her. Look what Boaz is doing for her now, a foreigner. Letting this foreigner eat, not only taking grain from her field, but eating at his table. Truly a blessing. Truly a blessing. And this affection between Boaz and Ruth, I hope you can see, is beginning to grow. And beginning to grow even more. We see the blessings of God continuing to grow. A product of the blessings of God is hope. Hope. You see, Ruth now had hope. No longer was she wandering the streets trying to find a field to glean in. She not only has a field, she is now protected. She now has food for when she gets hungry. She now has drink when she becomes thirsty. She now has a place to rest when she grows tired. Naomi says to her, stay in these fields because there you will not be harmed. So living in the blessings of God brings incredible hope for Ruth. It brings incredible hope for us. The question we might have is, how is Naomi going to respond? How is Naomi going to respond to these offerings of blessings? The last time we read of Naomi, she was bitter. But here in verse 19, read this. She said, her mother-in-law asked her, where did you go to glean today and where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Ruth tells her that the name of the man is Boaz. Blessed be the Lord for his great provision. Quite a change in Naomi. From the bitterness that we saw in her in chapter 1, when she saw God dealing with her abusively, even maybe improperly, but now she is acknowledging the blessings of God in her life. In this is a lesson for us I would like to give you. So many times we are overly focused on our surroundings. So many times we are overly focused on the things around us, our circumstances, other people. We ask the question, I'm trying to live the best I can for my Lord, but I see so-and-so, and they live just so-so, and they're doing so much better. Rather than fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, we're more involved with how they may be doing. So many of us come to church to get our needs met, and not necessarily our real need, but our perceived needs. I want to feel better when I leave the church today. I want to come and have my tank filled when I leave the church today so I'll feel better. Well, there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself, as long as that's not your primary objective. Our primary objective should be what we see here in Naomi. We come to church to worship, to acknowledge Jesus Christ, to acknowledge the blessing of God in our life. That may not always be through affluent means, that may not always be through better cars or better jobs, but it may be just the mere presence of God in our life. You would think Naomi had been given a fortune by the way she was responding. You would think she would had been given a great deal of income and a new house and a new camel and a new way to get her. All she got was a bushel of grain and dinner for the evening. Maybe food for a week. And she praised God. Because in her life, she realized the place God's blessings had and how intimate it was on a day-to-day basis. You see, we lose sight of that. We lose sight of God working so intimately in our lives every day. I was able to get up this morning, read my Bible, and come to church. What a blessing. What a blessing. And so many of us take that freedom for granted. I was able to go this week and go fishing with my grandsons. And they lived through it. I'm still worried about me. An incredible blessing. Incredible blessing to see that I have influence over two young men and they me. In the blessings of God, there is hope. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear what God has for us in the little things, we like to see God working in the big things, you know, raising the dead, changing the water to wine. We want these big things. But how about the breath you just drew? That was God, because he can stop it. Naomi and Ruth had hope simply because of God's blessing in their life in the name of the person Boaz. Boaz was their kinsman redeemer. And as I've alluded to before, this is the key to the entire story of Ruth. This is the key. Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, which meant he held the power and the ability to completely redeem everything about Naomi and Ruth. The blessings of God are flowing through this kinsman redeemer. Now we might say, now Boaz is a good man. He is a good man for looking out for these two widows. Truly he is, but why? Because he's representing God. He sees God and his place and he's pulling and putting God forth. This is what gave Ruth and Naomi hope. Should we who believe in Jesus Christ rejoice in the hope and the blessings of God simply because of who Jesus is? David Sides and I get into this friendly debate sometimes about why we worship. And the beauty of it is we're both right. We're both right. I contend more we worship Jesus Christ because simply of who he is. But David rightly points out that our confession points out that we worship Jesus Christ because of what he's done. And as I said, we're both right. My only issue, and I point out to David, is if we worship only because of what he's done, how about those times when we see him not doing so much? Or we might feel he's absent, or because of the circumstances and the situation, he's not quite there. should we cease our worship? And I may be splitting hairs. But you, when we consider who Jesus Christ is, when we consider what He has done for us, when we consider what He has to say in us in His Word, there is no reason, hear me well here, there is no reason there ever should be a hopelessness about us. There should never be a hopelessness about us because of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter we read, His divine power has given us everything. Everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. This is reason for our hope. God has blessed us with a divine nature. And in that divine nature, we are protected from the corruptions of this world. Those of you moms and dads of graduates today who your children are going off to college, oh my, there's worry, there is just so many things that could happen. Who they will meet, the professors, their friends, driving back and forth. There's so many things. But please remember this, mom and dad, that your child, as a believer in Jesus Christ, they have been given everything they need for life and godliness through knowledge of Him who's called them by His own glory. And through these, He has given those great, great, and precious promises. So that through those promises, they can escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, let me make sure you hear that right. They will escape the corruption in the world, not necessarily be prevented from seeing it or possibly being influenced by it. But in the end, your child, just as I do and you do and we all do, belong to Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's our hope. And our gratitude should be shown by following the commands of God. And when we follow the commands of God, we are given in testament, in Scripture, that we can live within the blessings of God. In chapter 2, verse 22, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished. Because of who Boaz was, the kinsman redeemer, Naomi knew that her future, as well as Ruth's future, was in Boaz. And they dare not leave him. Our future is in Jesus Christ. And we dare not ever leave Him. Just as Ruth was encouraged to stay close to Boaz, staying in his fields, staying with his girls, we are called to do the same thing. Stay close to Jesus Christ. Stay close to His ways. Stay close to His people, because in these people and in His ways, we find our safety, we find our protection, we find our provision, we find everything we need for life. Living in the blessings of God brings hope. And we all must have